Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. Mark 16, 15, and he, Jesus, said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." This is pretty wild stuff, isn't it, that Jesus mentions here? You know, you've seen the movie, you know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Lucy asks the question. She hasn't met Aslan yet. Aslan is a type of Jesus, and she hasn't met Aslan yet. And she's asking I think it's the beavers. Is she asking Mr. and Ms. Beaver about this Aslan that they're talking about? And so she asks, is he a tame lion? And they said, "Oh, no, he's not tame, but he is good." Hallelujah. Well, this is not tame stuff, is it? Jesus said, "In my name, they will cast out demons." That's wild stuff, isn't it? "In my name, they will take up serpents." Now, that doesn't mean you go around hunting them. We clarified that. Amen. "And they will drink, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them." That's wild stuff, isn't it? Again, that doesn't mean you try it. Amen. But that means you have divine protection. Amen. Praise God. Doesn't mean, you know, Jesus, you know, the devil told Jesus, you know, took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down." He said he'd give his angels charge over you. Jesus said, "No, you should not tempt the Lord your God." So you don't do stuff just to tempt God, but you can claim protection. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But then he said this other thing. He said, in my name, he said, they will speak with new tongues. Jesus said believers in him would speak in new tongues. And he said, "I'm authorizing it in my name." Praise God. Amen? Amen. And so that's what we've been talking about, the importance, the value of speaking in tongues. And I want to go back I started this as the third message in this series. I want to go back and the week before I did the first message, I just had this stirring in my heart to share along these lines. And I was impressed to go and pick up this book, which I had a copy on my bookshelf, and I'd never read all of it. Is anybody like that? You've got good books on your bookshelf that you've never read all of, and boy, they look good, though, don't they? It's like the cafeteria, isn't it? You know, your eyes are bigger than your stomach oftentimes. Well, in the book cafeteria, sometimes that's the same way. I've read parts of it, though, but I was impressed to go and pick this up, and I decided just to start at the beginning and read those pages that are small, that are lowercase Roman numeral. You ever read the lowercase Roman numeral pages in books? That's before the thing really starts, isn't it? But sometimes you can get as much out of the book before it really starts. So this is Roman numeral. This is little X, page little X. That's where I'm on. And I read this, and boy, something just really went off on the inside of me. Brother Hagin's writing, introducing what he's about to talk about here. And this is the book is called Tongues Beyond the Upper Room, compiled from the teachings of Kenneth E. Hagin. They actually, Rhema compiled this after he passed away back in 2003. But he said this, is that this preface was compiled from Kenneth E. Hagin's notes on the subject of tongues. He said this years ago, because this is where we're headed. This is where we're going with this. What I'm going to share right now is where I want to get to and what God wants us to understand in this series. Now, we're going to look at a lot of sites along the way. Brother Carl and I went up to Gatlinburg about 3 weeks ago to Brother Randy Greer's meeting up there. And our destination was Gatlinburg, but we stopped at Tallulah Gorge and spent a couple of hours hiking at Tallulah Gorge. That wasn't our destination, but we enjoyed that. And so along the way here in this series, we've not gotten to our destination yet, but we're looking at a lot of sites along the way that we need to see. Amen. But here's where we're going, okay? Here's what he said, and I think we've got it for the screen too, so you can follow along with me. Years ago, the Lord told me that there are some areas of prayer and intercession that will be lost unless we who are experienced in prayer somehow get those truths over to this present generation. God needs more people of prayer to get the job done on this earth. Did you hear that? God needs more people of prayer to get the job done on this earth. You know the poster with Uncle Sam pointing his finger saying, I need you. Well, God, picture your Heavenly Father pointing his finger and saying, I need you. I need you in the army of prayer. Praise God. God needs more people of prayer to get the job done on this earth. I'm inviting you to be one of them and to start by learning more about the true scope and value of praying in other tongues. Prayer is bigger than just praying in other tongues, but I have found in my experience of over 30 years now that praying in other tongues, being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues absolutely transformed my prayer life, along with learning to pray according to the Word of God. Those two things are huge. And so that's why we're talking about tongues. That's why the importance of it. It's not just some doctrinal thing. It's not just some badge that you wear. Hey, I speak in tongues. God needs people, more people of prayer to get the job done on the earth. And to have the full equipment to get that done, you need to understand about speaking in tongues and you need to participate in that. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So we've been talking about this then. And so the initial number one reason or purpose for speaking in tongues is it's the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We talked about that in some detail last week, but I'll give you one scripture, Acts 2:4. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We find similar scriptures, similar things said in Acts 10:44 through 46 and Acts 19 in verse 6. In other words, when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a subsequent experience to salvation. When we're saved, when we call on Jesus, when we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit within us, but there's a subsequent experience called being filled with the Holy Spirit or having the Holy Spirit come upon us. Praise God. Jesus said the Spirit within us being born again is like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. But then he said, later, he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. The well is for your benefit. Rivers is for the benefit of others. Amen. And so it's the initial evidence. Speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And then number two, speaking in tongues was given as a supernatural sign of the reality of the working of God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12:22, and he said, tongues are for a sign. Tongues are for a sign. Well, speaking in tongues was a sign on the day of Pentecost, a sign to the Jews to draw them to Jesus Christ. Those 120 followers of Jesus came out of the upper room after they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. It happened to be the Feast of Pentecost. Folks, Jews were gathered from all the nations around. Many different languages were represented that day in Jerusalem, and the people heard them speaking in their own languages. It was a supernatural sign to them. And Peter got up and began to preach, and it drew people to Jesus. And so it was a sign to draw them to Jesus. And by the way, the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues doesn't draw people's attention away from Jesus. It draws people to Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. And then Peter, in Acts chapter 10, Peter's preaching to Cornelius' household. And the Holy Spirit, it says, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard Peter speak there in Cornelius' house. They started speaking in tongues. And it was a sign to the Jews that the Gentiles were fellow heirs of salvation. Up to this time, the message of salvation through Jesus had only been proclaimed to the Jews. But God was trying to get the message out. No, this is for the whole world. Jesus was a Jewish Savior, but He wasn't just the Savior of the Jews. Amen. Amen. He's the Savior of the whole world. And so it took a while for that to get through their thinking. And so God used the supernatural sign of speaking in tongues. And they said, well, my goodness, you know, these are all Gentiles gathered here. They're speaking in tongues too. Salvation must be for the Gentiles as well. Amen. It was a supernatural sign. Praise God. And then we begin to talk about, we've got into the edge of it, I want to go further this morning, about how tongues, beyond the initial evidence, beyond being a sign, what is the purpose of speaking in other tongues? Well, we read you a quote, I want to read it one more time, a quote from a man named Howard Carter. Howard Carter was the general supervisor of the Assemblies of God in Great Britain for many years. He was the founder of the oldest Pentecostal Bible school in the world. He's a very educated man, a very godly man, walked with God. He pointed out that we must not forget, here's what Carter pointed out, that we must not forget that speaking with other tongues is not only the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit's infilling, because some people stop right there. You know, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues, and they don't continue. You know, maybe once in a while if they get really excited, you know, they'll let out a shandai, you know. But, you know, something like that. You know, should have bought a Honda. You never heard of that one? Tie my bow tie. All right. Anyway. Speaking with other tongues is not only the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit's infilling, but is a continual experience for the rest of one's life. For what purpose? To assist us in the worship of God. Speaking in tongues is a flowing stream which should never dry up and will enrich the life spiritually. And so then we started talking about going through 1 Corinthians. Paul took two entire chapters, really parts of three, 1 Corinthians 12, and then you have chapter 13, which is primarily on love, but includes teaching and instruction on tongues as well. And then all of chapter 14 on all the gifts of the Spirit, but he focuses a lot on speaking with other tongues. So we went through in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, started going through that last week, and we found out that that tongues, it's called different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues are two of the nine gifts or nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that there are nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit, two of which are different kinds of tongues and then the interpretation of tongues. And then also in 1 Corinthians 12, later in the chapter, he talks about ministries that God has set in the church. He says, verse 28, it says, and God has set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings. That would be the evangelist's office. And when you compare that list with Ephesians chapter 4. And then he says diversities or different kinds or varieties, says the word, varieties of tongues. In other words, it's a ministry that is set in the church. And then he begins to ask the question. He said, are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? No. And he goes on down, do all speak with tongues? In this sense, in this case, in this use, no. And do all interpret? No. So what he's talking about, and so somebody said, see there, everybody's not supposed to be speaking in tongues. You know, you shouldn't be telling your people that. Well, in a public, he's talking about the public application of tongues. In a church gathering, in a church service, like we have today, it wouldn't be proper for everyone. Now, if we're all worshiping and praying, it would be fine for everyone just to worship and pray in other tongues for a few moments. That'd be fine. But if we just started and went down every row here, and somebody just got up and just spoke in tongues, and we spent an hour and a half with everybody just, you know, speaking in tongues for a few minutes, that wouldn't do us much good, would it? No. Amen. Unless there were the interpretation. So he's saying not everyone will have these manifestations in a public assembly. Not everyone will be used by God to give a message in tongues or to interpret that. That's the public side of speaking in tongues. Not everyone's going to be used that way, at least not on a consistent basis. Now everyone, God could use any one of you. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He could use any one of you to give a message in tongues or to give the interpretation. Last Sunday, Chris Sharp, Jim and Chris were here. Chris gave a message in tongues. I interpreted the message. After church, my daughter Scarlett said, Dad, I believe I had the interpretation. And I said, well, I should have called you up. I didn't know. But see, more than God can use more than one person. He can use any number of us, but not everybody's going to have that public ministry on a consistent basis. Okay, that's what he's saying, okay? So I'm saying all that to clarify, that doesn't mean that everyone can't speak in tongues. All of us, every believer can and should speak with other tongues. Praise God. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul goes on, he teaches on love, and then he concludes that, and he moves back into teaching on the gifts of the Spirit and on speaking in tongues with this, and we'll pick it up here in 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, and you have it here. Look at what he says. He says, pursue love and. Everybody say and. Pursue love. He didn't say or. He said and. A lot of people have rewritten the Bible there in their minds, and they said, well, I either pursue love or I desire spiritual gifts. No, he said they're not mutually exclusive of one another, folks. We can pursue love and we can desire spiritual gifts.
Amen.
He told us to do that. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. We're going to come back and look at that verse probably next week before we get back to it. There's a lot in there. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Now verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Doesn't sound like Paul is telling people not to speak in tongues, does it?
No.
I want you all to. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So again, he's talking about the public side of it. So prophecy, he said, if we prophesy, you're edifying the church, you're speaking. So prophecy is an inspired utterance in a known language. So when you do that, you're edifying the church. Well, when you speak in tongues, nobody else is getting edified but you, unless you interpret that, and that's the same as a prophecy. It's like the prophecy is a dime, and the tongue and the interpretation are two nickels. Amen? I guess that was an illustration Brother Hagin used years ago. I guess today it would be a $10 bill and two fives with inflation. So anyway, he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. So not all will have the manifestation of tongues and interpretation in public assembly, but all can and should speak in tongues. The English Standard Version says it this way, like this. 1 Corinthians 14, 5 out of the English Standard. Do we have that on this available? We don't. Listen to this, and this is English Standard. Now I want you all to speak in tongues. That's what the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said to the church at Corinth. And if it's for the church at Corinth, it's for the church in coming.
Amen.
Or the church anywhere. Hallelujah. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy.
Amen.
All right, somebody said, well, I think I'll just take prophesying then. No. Speaking in tongues is, Howard Carter said this as well. He said, speaking in tongues is the doorway.
Amen.
It's the doorway.
Amen.
You probably won't get to the prophecy unless you enter in through speaking in tongues.
Amen.
The Message Bible says it this way. I want all of you to develop intimacies with God in prayer. Robin got up and exhorted about knowing God. Here's a great aid in getting to know God. Why? God is a spirit, Jesus said. God is a spirit. We can understand and know God somewhat with our mind, but you really want to know God, you need to get to know Him spirit to spirit.
Yeah.
Amen? And here's where speaking in tongues can be a great benefit in our lives. I want all of you to develop intimacies with God in prayer, but please don't stop with that. Well, don't stop there, but you have to start there. I said you have to start there.
Right, amen.
Amen. So again, what is the benefit of speaking in tongues? Back to verse 4. He says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies. That word edify means builds up. He who speaks in a tongue edifies or builds up himself. It's the word we've mentioned. The root word in the Greek is the same word that we use when we say charge, like you charge a battery. So when you're speaking in tongues, you are charging up your spiritual battery. You're charging up your spiritual battery when you're speaking in tongues. The New Living Translation says it this way. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. So you're edifying You're building up, you're charging up, you're strengthening yourself spiritually, personally. Well, there's a great value in that, isn't there? Amen? So let's look at another scripture that goes right along with this. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself or builds himself up. Look at what it says in the book of Jude, just one chapter in the book of Jude, and verse 20. Jude, verse 20, and verse 21. Look at what he says here. But you, beloved, building yourselves up. Doing what? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, what does he mean by praying in the Holy Spirit? Well, we read 1 Corinthians 14:2. It said, he who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit. Yes. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Put 1 Corinthians 14:2 back up there, Charlene, if you could. I want you to see this. Look. Okay, so he says, he's speaking in tongues. In the Spirit, he's speaking mysteries. And then Jude says, praying in the Holy Spirit. So praying in the Spirit is praying in other tongues. Can you see that? All right. So, and he says the result of that is building yourselves up on your most holy faith. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, when we pray in other tongues, we're building ourselves up in our faith. Praise God. It stimulates your faith. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's not that you don't have faith, you just need to stir that faith up. You just need to stir that faith up. You just go along, you just kind of start coasting, and all of a sudden something, well, what am I going to do about that? Oh, I need to get in faith. Well, it might not be that you don't have faith, you just need to stir that faith up. And one way to do that, the best way to do it is praying. He says praying in the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice this, what else he says here too. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So when we're praying, when we pray in the Holy Spirit, when we pray in tongues, we're building ourselves up on our most holy faith. And then he says here, keep yourselves in the love of God. How many of you have found out that it's easy to get out of the love of God? Is it just me? He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Why did he tell us to keep ourselves in the love of God? Because it's easy to get out, isn't it? Huh? Well, praying in the Holy Spirit will help you stay in the love of God. Amen? So I said, well, Pastor, I know somebody that prays in tongues a lot and they're just mean as the devil. Well, they've got other issues. You should see the shape they would be in if they didn't pray in tongues. I'm not saying it's the end all. I'm not saying it's the end all, but don't discount. See, because the reason I mention that is because some people you've seen examples. You've seen examples like that. Probably you say, well, it can't be too much to speaking in tongues, because I know somebody that did it all the time and that, you know, they weren't in too good a shape. Well, it's not because they were speaking in tongues, and it's not the end all. Again, they have other issues. Amen. Hallelujah. No, the Scripture tells us here that as we pray in the Holy Spirit, it will help us stay in the love of God. I'm going to show you how that happens. You like to know how stuff works? Well, here's how some of this stuff works. Praise God. And how? Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Look at this. Romans 5, verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint. Look at this. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So there's a connection between the love of God and the Holy Spirit, isn't there? Amen. There's a connection between walking in love and yielding to the Holy Spirit. The love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given us. See, some people thought, well, speaking in tongues, that's just some emotional release. No, that's not it at all. It's much, much deeper than that. Some folks have just kind of passed it off and minimized it, but there's a lot to this. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So the love of God and the Holy Spirit are connected together. In Ephesians 5, verse 17, look what he says here. He says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Praise God. He says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, what true wisdom is? I saw this as I was reading over these scriptures this week. True wisdom is understanding the will of the Lord for your life. Amen? That's what true wisdom is understanding the will of the Lord. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now again, that in the Greek there, where it says be filled with the Spirit, in the Greek language, that's in the continuous tense. It literally means being filled. Or we could say it this way, be continually in the process of being filled. Amen. There's one initial baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's one initial. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit sometime, I don't know the exact date, but May 1979. But I'm not living on that. Now that was a great turning point in my life. It was life changing. But I can't live back on what happened in 1979. And you can't either. Amen. It's a continue. We have to be being filled. We have to be continually in the process of being filled. In other words, we have to stay filled with the Spirit. And speaking in tongues helps you to do that. But look what he says here. Be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking. Notice that. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It starts with speaking in other tongues, but it moves into and it expands into psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, when you learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, it says in Acts 2, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. When you yield to the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues, well, number one, that's exactly what you're doing. You're yielding to the Holy Spirit. We sang, I surrender. Lord, have your way. Well, one good way to exercise that in your life and flow in that in your life is to yield to the Holy Spirit. And as He gives you utterance, you do the speaking. Yes, amen. Amen. Speaking in other tongues is a way to yield your tongue and yield your life, a way to learn to yield yourself to God. And then it expands into speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. God can give you songs inspired by the Spirit that you, because you're used to and accustomed to speaking out in other tongues, well, that's that same Spirit giving me utterance here. I'm going to speak out this psalm. I'm going to speak out this word of exhortation. You can do that privately. You can do it publicly. Amen? Are you still there?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? And so he's talking about that, talking about yielding to the Holy Spirit. I want to read you just a short excerpt here from this book that Brother Hagin wrote. And it's called, the title of this section is called Maintaining the Greater Measure of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides Christians who know Him through the new birth as much as He can. So when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit and He will guide you. Amen. Brother Hagin talked about the Holy Spirit guiding him into healing. When he was born again, he was bedfast. He had an incurable blood disease, doctors told him he had to die. But the Holy Spirit guided him into healing. He had nobody else to teach him. The ministers he knew didn't believe in healing, and so the Holy Spirit guided him into healing. He was raised up off a deathbed as a teenager, at 16 years of age, lived to be 86.
Amen.
Glory to God.
And
so anyway, he says he guides through the new birth as much as he can. But for those who are filled with the Holy Ghost and pray with other tongues, the Holy Spirit's guidance is available in a far greater measure. You know, something that I recognized or that happened to me after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, almost instantly, I recognized the call of God on my life that I had not ever acknowledged or recognized before I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. So anyway, for those of us who are filled with the Holy Ghost and pray with other tongues, the Holy Spirit's guidance is available in a far greater measure. Well, I want the far greater measure, don't you? I need it. However, he says, I have found that this extra measure of the Holy Spirit operates in my life only if I follow the practice of continually praying daily in tongues. So otherwise, as Brother Hagin used to say, the Holy Spirit's only a hitchhiker. He lives in you all right, but he's only along for the ride. When we pray in other tongues, we tap into his indwelling presence and we tap into his indwelling power.
Amen.
And we need to do that. Getting back to Ephesians here, though. Praise God. He says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's skip 1 Corinthians 14, Charlene. Let's go straight to Ephesians 5:21. So look at what he says then after he says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then the next verse says, wives, 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And then we read on through and get to verse 25, and he says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. I don't think it's any accident of the order that this is presented in here in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. He talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. He talks about staying full of the Holy Spirit. He talks about speaking in psalms and hymns and making melody in your heart to the Lord and giving thanks. And then he talks about submitting to one another. And then he talks about wives submitting to their husbands and husbands loving their wives. In other words, he's saying we need the Holy Spirit's help to be able to get along with each other.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I gave yourself away there, but glory to God. Hallelujah. He was saying it for all of us. It's true for all of us. I'm glad somebody was honest enough to admit it. Glory to God. So the result of being full of the Holy Spirit, of which speaking in tongues is a part, and then yielding and praying in the Holy Spirit, is that it will be more yielded to the love of God and that will more readily respond out of love. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us that oil is a type. When oil is used in the Holy Scripture, it's a type of the Holy Spirit. It's a type of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 92, verse 10, the psalmist said, I've been anointed with fresh oil. So I'll close with this illustration. 2 weeks ago tomorrow, Monday morning, Scarlett had her car, her little Chevy Aveo, parked in the garage that morning, and she left out for school. I came walking through the garage a little while later, and I saw not a drop of oil, but a puddle of oil. But I saw drops of oil heading out the driveway. And I walked down the driveway, and I thought, this is not good. I mean, I could follow for a couple of hundred feet drops of oil coming out of the bottom. I knew it was coming out of the bottom of her car. I immediately called Robin. I said, please get a hold of Scarlett. Tell her, did she make it to school all right? Yeah, she made. Tell her, get her to your office and tell her. Robin works as the school nurse. So I knew she could get in touch with Scarlett during the day. Tell her not to crank her car, not to drive anywhere. I'll meet her when she gets out of school. We've got to take care of this.
Yes.
How many of you know that your engine can't run without oil?
Yes.
Not very far anyway. You know why? Does anybody know why? Because what does that oil do? That oil is a lubricant for what? You got pistons. You got parts moving in that engine. You got metal on metal. And that oil creates a film, a thin film over that, so it's not metal against metal. How many of metal against metal is going to be? There's going to be problems. Yes. You've heard the commercial. You know, eliminates friction, reduces wear. That right?
Yeah.
You know, that's what that oil does. That's what it's there for. Amen. Well, the oil of the Holy Spirit, it's not an option. It's a necessity.
Amen.
Oil is not an option in your car, and the Holy Spirit is not an option in our lives and in our relationships. It is a necessity.
Amen.
In our homes, with our fellow believers. Why? To eliminate friction. To reduce wear.
Yeah.
You ever turn to somebody and say, "Well, you're just wearing on me." Well, that's because there's an oil change that's needed. Or the oil is low.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Folks are just telling on themselves today, aren't they? That's all right. I'm glad you're being honest. Amen. So we have to be filled with the Spirit, don't we? It's going to help you. Amen. It's going to help. It's not just, you know, the reason I'm bringing this out is some people, speaking in tongues, that's just what the pastor does, you know, so he can get all fired up and preach a nice sermon. No. Now, I speak in tongues. Amen. I pray in tongues. I build myself up. And certainly, before I preach, I take time to do that, and before I minister, so I can be more yielded to the Holy Spirit. But it's not just for the preacher. It's for all of us.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's not just some badge that you wear, "Oh, I'm Pentecostal, I speak in tongues." No, there's a very practical application.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. The love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and we tap in to that Holy Spirit flow of love. We tap into it by yielding to the Holy Spirit, by praying in other tongues. Is speaking in tongues the end all? No, sometimes folks have other issues as well that they need to deal with. We understand that. But again, remember where we're getting to. Where we want to get to is God needs more people of prayer to get the job done on this earth. That's where we're going. Amen. And to start by learning more about the true scope and value of praying with other tongues. Praise God. So we're headed there. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Father, I thank you for every person here. And Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice right now. I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, I pray that today they would come to know Jesus. I pray that today they would be saved and they would know Jesus as Lord.